Welcome to the We Hack Purple podcast, where each week we meet a new member of the information security industry to learn basically all about them and how they got that really cool job they have. There are so many different areas of information security, and I have to say, me, Tanya Janka, your host, that I got pretty darn confused when I joined. At first, I thought I wanted to be a pen tester. Then I thought I wanted to be a CISO briefly, an incident responder. And then I found my true love, which is AppSec. And so I'm really excited to talk to our guest, Meryl Vernon, who's going to talk to us about red teaming and like what pen testing and red teaming is like and how they're not the same. I want to thank this week's sponsor, Ten Security. Yes, that's right. They're back and they're going to sponsor a few more weeks. And I'm really, really grateful. But you don't, oh wait, I have an announcement. We Hack Purple released our secure coding course finally yesterday. If you want to go check it out, it's at academy.wehackpurple.com. And then it'll be like right there. It's really obvious. We really hope you check it out. But you're not here for marketing. You're here for Meryl. So let's bring her out. Hi.
Hi. I know, secure coding sounds excellent. I think I'd be into that. I need to get better at it. So
nice. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I follow you on Twitter.
Since almost day one. So I was like really excited. I finally get my We Hack Purple episode.
Very excited. Yes. So could you tell us, like, just introduce yourself and be like, hi, I'm Meryl Vernon and here are some stuff.
Absolutely. So hello there. I'm Meryl Vernon, also known as She Who Hacks. And currently I am an offensive security engineer at Zoom Video Communications. Previously I've been a pen tester, and then previous to pen testing and being an InfoSec, which I've been in for about a year and a half now. I know it's kind of crazy, but it's true. I was in social media marketing management. So I've had kind of a very crazy journey in a very short amount of time. But I mean, I'm one of those people who, if you're looking to break into this industry, if you're unsure where you can go, if you're unsure how to learn it or where to learn it or who to go to, I've literally just done all of that. So I know all of the strategies and all of the things that you can intelligently do to kind of hack your way into getting into this industry a lot sooner than people tell you it'll take.
That is awesome information, because that's literally why we started this podcast, because we wanted more people joining our industry. So We Hack Purple kind of focuses on, you might imagine, the purple teamy stuff. So like AppSec, DevSecOps, secure coding sorts of things. But there's a huge, huge umbrella of so many things in information security. And quite frankly, I want to know all the things. And so when you have a podcast, this is a secret, Meryl. You get to invite cool people on and then ask them questions and you get to learn for free.
You're like, I'm really going to ask you questions that I want to know. And if everyone else wants to know too, then awesome. Because there are so many things you can do. You can dev, you can architect, you can pen test, you could not pen test, you could GRC, you could risk, you could privacy, you could CISO. You could, like, there are 1,000 jobs probably in this field. 1,000.
Yes. There are a lot, but we want to hear about yours. Could you tell us, so not like specifics for your company, but like, what is it like to be an offensive engineer? Like, what does that mean? Because it's funny, because people in my life that aren't part of the industry, I'm like, yeah, she just swears at people all the time. She's an offensive engineer. Mm-hmm. They're like, Tanya, that's not what happens.
No, it kind of is. I do kind of cuss at people sometimes. It depends on how the readout's going.
Can you imagine? Yeah, that's our defensive engineer. Awesome. They're always making excuses and like...
Sorry about that. No, I'm not. Moving on. No, offensive testing is all the jazzy, wonderful things that you think it is. Everyone's like, wow, that sounds so fun and so sexy and so cool. And I'm like, it really is. It's so fun doing my job. I mean... You get paid to break all the rules. You get paid to make things do things they shouldn't. You get paid to find all the problems. I mean, you could literally kind of break everything, leave a giant smoking mess, say thanks for the good time. And, you know, you'd be the red teamer that I hate. But I mean, you could do that if you want. But really what offensive, I know those people, don't be one of those people. Really what offensive testing is all about is it's trying to keep in mind how you provide value back to security and back to the business. So at the end of the day, even us offensive engineers and pen testers are trying to secure the org. That's still our goal. So from the red team comes, or from the blue team comes the red team. No one is out here just breaking stuff for fun or trying to tell you did a horrible job spinning up that firewall or maintaining that system. It's like, I know we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations around why it's in the state that it's in, but let's just fix it. Let's just fix it. Let's remove risk. Let's reduce, you know, our likelihood of being breached, and let's move on. So what that entails is a lot of, you know, really, you say we're going to stand up defense. We're worried about these things happening. So we stand up a defense. And as an offensive engineer, I go, cool. If you think that defense is ready, I'm going to test it. I'm going to literally launch Z missiles at the thing, just like the enemy would. And from there, I'm going to say, this is where you messed up. This is where you did well. This is where this could be better. This is where you're missing a detection. I was able to do this. And you're going to fix all those things so that I should not be able to hack you the same way twice if I've done my job well. That's really, at the end of the day, what my job is.
I remember I did a pen test once, and I wasn't a pen tester very long, and I was supposed to test a WAF. And I remember asking them, is it on? I didn't mean to be rude. I was just, have you had a moment like that where you're like, is this thing on?
I had one time, and actually, luckily, this wasn't for the company I work for now. One time I was doing a firewall assessment for someone else, and I was doing a security assessment. I think it was on testing the base image of their Macs, like the Macs that they had. And it was not people who were used to having Macs. Macs were like the anomaly to the normal Windows environment. And they gave me one, and it was super vulnerable. I was coming at this thing. Everything was working. It was like taking candy from a baby. And I was like, this is horrible. I have like 15 criticals. It's been like 2 hours. And then later they come back and go, oh, we didn't put any of the endpoint protections on there. We forgot that that was just kind of out of the box. And I'm like, I hope so. I hope that's your issue. They literally said it was missing all of the enterprise level endpoint things it was supposed to have. And I'm like,
Okay.
All right. Well, let me know when you're ready. That was horrible. But when people really try, I mean, there are some things, again, that you'll find some low hanging fruit, but like, it's like 50% versus like all the things. It's like, I shouldn't find open telnet. I shouldn't find plain text protocols enabled. I shouldn't find a password policy that's only 8 characters and lets you repeat passwords all you want. That's stuff that I should not find. If you tried at all, it should be a little harder than that. And if it's not, then you're not ready for a pen test. This is premature. You're not getting any value. I'm finding all the things that a SCAP or a vulnerability scan should have found, to be honest.
I have had so many companies where they're like, we're thinking of hiring a pen tester. And I was like, you have done literally zero of nothing. So if you, like, I mean, they'll give you a big long list of things to fix. Like, or you could just do like the bare bones basic. Like you could spend that $25,000 and like you could just squash a ton of bugs you know about, or like maybe attempt any security. But I digress. What is a day like in the life of a person that does offensive security? Do you have meetings all day? Ooh. Do you have to make presentations a lot?
You can. It really depends on the flavor of offensive security that you are. So you can be a pen tester. You can be a niche pen tester. Like I only pen test web apps. You could be the one woman show like I was at my old org, who was doing the firewalls and the AWS and the APIs and the web apps and the pivot and the C2 and like everything, like you're doing everything. So it just depends. But typically you'll be you'll be running some tools because you always want to run tools. Tools help you validate, first validate things that you find, and second of all, find things that you might have missed. They're a good place to start for manual validation if you're new. So you'll generally be taking outputs from a bunch of your tools, seeing if scans failed, making sure all the like the typical vulnerability management things are running the way they should. You'll be pulling some vulnerabilities and some findings and being like, what did that work on? What's the host? What's the rule? What's the problem? You'll be isolating it and you'll see if you can actually try it. Like if it's like, oh, you can RDP to the admin console for your Palo Alto with anonymous credentials, you're like, okay, anonymous. Oh, that worked. Yeah, that's horrible. So you're trying stuff out and you don't see that. I'm not saying you won't, but hopefully. you're doing a lot of documenting. You're documenting everything you do, lots of screenshots, lots of syntax, lots of, you know, I went over here, I clicked this, this gave me this nugget. I took this over here and tried this, screenshot that. Then I clicked enter, screenshot that. So you're doing a lot of, at the end of the day, when you're reporting, you have a lot of screenshots to go through, and then you have to write a report. And in that report, you have to explain why you did the test. Was there an objective? Is it a compliance thing? Is it to find, to resolve a certain vulnerability, like you're really hyper concerned with RCE or XSS or something? And you're also saying, like, this is a description of the vulnerability. This was how I achieved it. This is why it's bad, the impact. And this is how you fix it. So you don't just want to give people a, hey, I broke all your stuff really well. This is all the things that I did. Your baby is this ugly. Thanks. Bye. You want to say, this is how you fix it. That's what we call it. We call it, I have to tell someone their baby's ugly later. It's like, ooh, someone's going to be mad at you. Because, you know, everyone's work is their baby. And no one wants to hear that they were bad at their job. And as an offensive person, you have to know that, like, not everyone's going to be happy to see you walk in the room. And you love your job and you love breaking the things and finding the holes so you can help plug them. But no one's happy to have that conversation. Like, no one's happy to, like, look at the thing and see all the problems with it, which is generally why you, when you come in, you're like, did you QA this at all? Did you scan this at all? They're like, no, we don't want to know how bad it is. Is it bad? Is it bad? Okay, it's bad. It's bad. So it just depends. But I mean, it's something different every day. You get a new product to test every day. If you're a red teamer like me, my cadence is different now. I'm not pen testing so much. I'm not running automated tools. We are using CTI, cyber threat intel. We are trying to decide who's coming at our industry, who's coming at our company, why would they target our data? What tactics do they use? We try to emulate those tactics very closely, and then we report on our success. But it's going to be more of a people and processes thing than like a your product has X CVE in it thing. So just cool. Sorry.
No, no, this is fantastic because like a lot of people don't realize like what a day is like. We have awesome questions coming in the chat. So Dwayne,
mid-rant, I'm so sorry. What do we have?
No, it's great. So Dwayne says, have you performed a pen test on an org or a red teaming exercise and then for, you know, return for a follow-up and find no or few changes were made based on the findings from your tests?
First off, hey, Dwayne. And second of all, yes, I literally had a report that was so the same two quarters later, they had 6 months and all I did was change the dates.
Oh,
and I validated each and every single one. And I'm like, this shit is the same. This is the same as it was 6 months ago. You fixed none of these things. And you know what? Just to hammer that point home, I added a special appendix with a special table that said, findings from last assessment, persisting findings to this assessment, they're all the same.
Oh, wow.
It's horrible. Yeah, so you find that all the time. Because like what you might have found, you don't find everything as a pen tester. If you're focused on finding everything, like you'll never find all the things. Once you have enough, you kind of want to ask the customer, like, what is your goal? Like, do you want us to just keep finding all the crits? Or, I mean, do you want us to get out of here and test something else? Yeah. We've definitely proved we can get past your firewall. Would you like us to test group policies or your antivirus solution or something else? Because they can only remediate so much and they have to prioritize. And they might do it to a totally different system than you do it. And you're like, I think this is a critical. They're like, well, they think that's a low. And you're like, well, I disagree, but it's your risk at the end of the day. You're the one who might suffer the breach if you don't listen to me. And you're the one who over security insurance will say, did you have a pen test done? Did they say to fix this? Did you not fix it? That's negligence.
Yes, I was just talking to a client this week about their cyber insurance. And I'm like, so are you compliant with the requirements so that you actually could get cyber insurance? And they were like, there's requirements. And I was like, okay, so our next meeting needs to be only about this. Yeah. But I digress. Okay, so we have another awesome question from Dwayne. How do you help folks that push back when you walk in to relax and that you're there to help? So there's people that are tense.
Yes. So people, again, who are not happy to see you and you're about to tell them essentially all your work is horrible, which is not what you're saying, but that's all that they hear. Perception is everything. So first off, when you work in offensive, it's really key for you to reach out to people ahead of time and have really good rapport with the other departments. I have rapport with all the teams. I came in and I was like, hi, we're the red team. We're new. And I was building rapport with like everybody. So that if I have to work with you one day, you already know me and you know that I'm coming from a place of collaboration and not a place of like, we've never met and I had to do a really like I had to work over your product. I'm so sorry. But the other thing you can do is you can start off with positive findings. You're like, so before we get into the findings, I would just want to say some things that were done well. We had to get really creative to do this. This didn't work initially. We had to pivot from here. So while we did have some success, like a lot of things were being done well also. So giving them some positive findings and making them feel good. Also telling them how common something is. You know, we see this in a lot of these environments. It's very easy to miss. It's a small config item. It's something you didn't toggle. It's something you didn't go in and change. Or this is very unique because you have a very complex setup in the way that you've implemented this. You might not have caught this in a if it had been a typical implementation. So there are things you can say to kind of soften the blow. But really, it's you want to stand your ground when they're like, this is a false positive, or you cheated, or this isn't real, or I don't really believe they were able to do that. Like, that's when you have to, well, we did. It happened.
Yeah. So. There are more questions in the chat. Everyone has great questions. So I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. So please forgive me if I say it wrong. Yale is asking, is it better to forward a written report or like kind of tell them on the side before doing a presentation about it to like kind of ease them into the results?
It depends. If you're going to do that, I would say definitely circulate it amongst your team so that you, your team, and your manager are all on the same page and in agreement before you do that. Because the second you forward a document like that out, there's going to be questions. Well, what does this mean? Well, how bad is this? Well, what did you mean on page 7? You're like, we haven't had the meeting yet. I was just doing this as a courtesy. So including it as a read ahead can be good because they can familiarize themselves with the info ahead of time, and it can be more in a reverse classroom. If you have a very mature SOC with a very mature approach to offensive security, but if everyone's just going to leap on you like a pile of hyenas, then I would not recommend doing that. So you're going to have to feel it out.
Oh, that's such a good answer. That's such a good answer. When I was a pen tester, I would tell the devs in like while I was doing the test, I'd be like, I found this thing and it looks like this. Like, do you want? And I would even sometimes let them fix it and I would retest it and then write the report. And I was
you're like, oh my God, we found this. This is so bad. And you're telling people this is so bad. And they're like, oh my God, could someone 0-day us? You're like, okay, let's take that in context. It's a high. It's really not that bad. We just got really excited. So like we have a guy on the team who will like freak people out. And we're like, okay, that's it's not good, but it's not full stop, roping, like wake up people in the middle of the night. It's okay.
Yeah. Don't scare the pants.
Don't scare the pants off people. You can in your job very easily. Like we pwned prod, done. People are like, like, are we all fired? How screwed are we? So you gotta really be careful because your job can be a lot of fun. And again, you love your job more than everyone else loves your job.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so smart. We have another great question from Dwayne. So do you teach the tech folks in the org how to use the tools that you all use so that they can learn to perform continuous testing of their systems or check to see if the vulnerability found is mitigated or not?
We do. And that is always something I've offered at all the orgs that I've worked at. I've been like, if you want, this is open source. This is easy. This is something you should be doing on the front end. Like I should run this and find nothing or find very minimal things. So I'm always willing to teach the blue side how to do the automated stuff we do. They won't be able to do a lot of the more manual, like higher elevations of things that we do, which is why we get paid the big bucks. But I'm always willing to give them that extra edge because just as much as it behooves me to learn the blue side of things, like when I wanted to learn how to F up AWS really well, I learned AWS from the administrator standpoint. I'm like, how do you admin the environment? What are all the little things that you can miss? How do you protect it? How do I protect my data? And that taught me how to get at someone's data really, really well. So I'm all about helping the blue get a little better at their job because they understand from my perspective how I would come at their data. But there's very little interest usually. They don't really care. They're like, that probably doesn't work and your tool's full of crap anyway. And I'm like, well, if my tool wasn't full of crap and you want to learn how to use it, we're always happy to do that. But we take it a step further. I like to get red team ops into a continuous feedback loop with purple team ops. So I like to take the red team op, identify the TTPs that were successful, identify the shield TTPs that are opposite to those, identify legit hardcore detections or mitigations you can use, and then say, let's repeat this again. Let's do it again over and over and over and over until you fine-tuned your stuff, until you see us where you didn't see us before, and until this is no longer going to work. Because then I don't have to teach them how to use my tool. They don't necessarily have to understand the why to know how to fix the what. And then you can feed that into the red and then purple and then red and then purple and keeps going.
Oh, that's awesome. So we have more amazing questions in the chat. So I have been told it's pronounced Johnny. So the question's for both of us, but I mostly want to hear what you say. How can someone get to work for you? What should they learn? What experience would you expect from them if someone's going to eventually be hired onto an offensive security team? So I want Meryl to answer.
Well, I can tell you that I've always done it by satisfying a need on that team that no one else had. When I came to this team, they were really jazzed about the fact that I knew cloud really well, which is something a lot of people avoid like the plague because it's abstract and weird and complex and most people don't want to learn it. And I was like, I can't avoid that beast forever. So I'm just going to do what I said. If it makes you uncomfortable, make it your bitch. So that's what I did. And they were really jazzed because they're like, great. Now when we find keys or if we find something that we don't know what to do with, you know what to do with those things. And that's a contribution I can make, provide value. And it's a niche that you can satisfy because, you know, I'm by all means very new to this field. I'm new to my team, but I am filling a gap that these seasoned guys just don't have because it's hard to know it all. No one will ever know it all. That's impossible. Another thing that I brought to the table was the purple team methodology experience. No one else really had experience running purple team engagements. So what behooves you if you want to get into like working for these teams is to well-round your background and your education and your experience and be able to bring something else to the table. Like you can throw a rock and hit 10 pen testers, but can you throw a rock and hit 10 pen testers who understand business risk and can communicate risk to business managers and can talk to IT people and also talk to senior leadership? That's very rare. So I expect people to know the basics, but honestly, I can teach you anything technical you don't know. You've never used Bash? Fine. Never used PowerShell? Can't believe that, but fine. You've never used a certain tool? Fine. We will teach you how to use those things. There's 1,001 tutorials on how to physically do what I do. But when you can bring something extra, when you can bring something else that no one else on the team has, that really is really, really your golden ticket in. So I would say if you want to work for Zoom's red team, target Zoom, target the people who work on the team, talk to us, be like, what are your challenges? What are you guys working on? What do you find, you know, and be like, okay, you guys want to start mobile testing in 2 years? I'm going to make it my business to be the expert, the go-to expert in mobile testing in 2 years. Bam. You're guaranteed an audience at least. So that's how I've done it. That's how I move so quickly through those ranks.
Nice. We have more questions. Dwayne is just like powering through the questions. It's awesome. So he says, have you ever not compromised an org? Which I think could mean like also like a product or a system that you're asked to test.
Oh, as in like, I couldn't smoke them. They bested
yeah.
me. Luckily, yeah. No, I'm undefeated.
I think the hair flick is the best thing ever. Could you imagine when you're like, so here's the pen test report.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be glorious?
Your findings. But I've had someone peacock me in a meeting. They've been like, are you sure you have the experience? And I'm like, ooh, buddy. I just chopped my head there. Don't go there. But yeah, I'm sure the day is coming when someone's going to have a decent defense. And but here's the deal. When that happens, when I can tell all the straightforward stuff isn't going to work, I just get creative immediately. I'm not going to take 20,000 hits at the firewall. I'm like, all right, you got a good firewall. I'm just going to sneak around here and I'm just going to work my way in and inject over there, or I'm going to vish somebody. That's my solution. So I haven't met anyone that I can't beat yet, but I'm sure the day is coming. Especially now that I've put that challenge out there into the universe.
But wouldn't it be fantastic though? Like you work somewhere and you're like, yeah, that team is just so totally awesome. I can only get some lows in and I couldn't really get that far.
If I had all lows and informationals or nothing at all, I'd be like, you guys, I'm so ashamed to admit defeat, but I'm so proud of you. You are the real MVPs, you guys. That would be my ever. So actually in an op, I won't say for who, but in an op for someone, I designed this beautiful fish and I spent a lot of time making it look perfect. Like not one of these ones with all these typos and spelling errors and English syntax, questionable things. It was beautiful. And immediately all the targets we sent it to reported it. And I'm like, who's got the super woke users? You do. They weren't buying that for 2 seconds. It lasted like 2 hours before we had. And I was just like, they all reported me. Dang.
Well, that's good. That's good. I used to work somewhere and we sent fish and we would let people catch the fish. So you would report it to us. Mm-hmm. And then we would send them a cute picture of us holding fishing rods. Be like, you caught us. But people actually report a lot of serious things that we found out that were going on in our org. And that was cool.
Yeah.
We have more questions.
But very upset. It was on my heart.
We have more questions. However, I want to take a brief second to thank our sponsor, 10 Security. 10 Security, if you want to hire the guys that created Defect Dojo to implement Defect Dojo, you hire 10 Security. And that's all there is. They didn't give me a sentence to say. They said I could say whatever I want. And so just like Greg and Matt rule, the end. And so now I want to ask some questions. So first of all, Dwayne was saying in the chat, he's had people tell him not to ask questions, but I love your questions, Dwayne. Let's just be here. Oh, also, I'm supposed to tell you about our secure coding course. I remember now. That's why my face is still on here. Okay, so we released a secure coding course from WeHack Purple yesterday, and it covers the 17 secure coding commandments as per Allison Bobler in application security. And it covers like code review, not how to do a complete engagement of code review, but basically you learn a thing and then you review some code. And you're like, hey, something's missing or that looks wrong. We also cover PCI DSS, so like how to be PCI compliant. And it's actually not as hard as you think. We cover the OWASP top 10 because otherwise I would be strung up by my toes because you have to cover that. But I also cover a whole bunch of other vulnerabilities. And then also what is application security and a secure system development lifecycle. And there's silly animations and jokes and checklists and quizzes and code review. And anyway, I hope y'all like it. And it's $199 until July 5th. And so I have done all the marketing I feel like I can do. So let's go back to Meryl. And let's go back to Dwayne. So he was asking like, what percentage of your engagement is technical versus writing reports versus communicating with your customers or clients? That's a great question.
That's again going to depend if you're internal to your company, like I have been, or if you are working for a consulting firm and you have many external customers. If you have internal customers, you're doing a lot of meetings and a lot of explaining and a lot of writing because people want to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, how dangerous is it, when will you stop? Will you stop when you're supposed to stop? Are you going to DOS prod? Are you going to take a screenshot of the CEO's desktop? Like these are all questions I've been asked. So they're really scared. So you write a test plan, you defend your test plan, you execute your test plan, then you write your report, defend your report, outbrief your report, technical outbrief your report, executive outbrief your report. So as a pen tester, you end up doing a lot of writing sometimes. If you work for a consulting firm where you're pen testing a lot of different people all the time, then generally you will be you'll be getting roped in on the ROE meeting so that you know like kind of if you trip a wire you're not supposed to, if you do something you're not supposed to, who do you tell immediately and like how do you operate safely for that company. But then you'll basically be gathering your screenshots and doing your testing because you only get like a week usually to test that company and give them your all and really make sure they get some value out of it. So you want to spend all of your time doing the hands-on keyboard coming at the system. And then you will generally pass a lot of that off to someone else who will like gather all your findings and write it up and you'll double check it and then they'll send it on. And then you only have to really attend the meeting if the customer has questions on how a specific thing was done. So it just depends on your world. It depends. And if you're not comfortable, generally you can like brief your manager and be like, this is what we found. This is how it worked. This is why it worked. And they will take that rein for you. And you're just kind of on the call to fly on the wall and really answer any super tough question that they can't answer for you. But if you write a good enough report, you won't have to speak.
Nice. Yes. Yes. Writing a report it's almost like an art to writing a good one that you don't get questions from. Mm-hmm. Definitely. We have another question. So this is from Al. Do you find that you're so busy learning new tools, vulnerabilities, and threats that you don't care about certs anymore? Or do you try to attain certs that align with your future goals or your current goals? I mean, that implies that you cared about certs from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm kind of not the cert person to speak to. Still, the only real cert that I have is my Sec Plus. I've gotten pretty far leveraging that. I did just complete my master's like 2 weeks ago, so I'll have that shortly. But
yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, I started in December and I just wrapped it up last month. So 6 months. So now I have another one, but I'm not really someone who felt the need to go out. Like, I asked people in the beginning, what value did you get out of that? Why did you get that cert? Well, I wanted to work in the DoD and they said to have a CEH. So I got one. Okay. Why did you get the OSCP? Why did you get this? And I started learning about like the core curriculum behind them, and OSCP wasn't going to serve me because I don't do a ton of network pivot. I do a lot of web app and API. That's like in cloud. That's where the future is. So I was like, I don't need that. I don't need that. That's not going to help me. It helps me more to identify the things that will provide value to my organization. What is my org concerned with? Where are we going? Are we doing a mass cloud migration and deployment? Are we developing our own applications? Are we going mobile soon? Like, wherever it is that your org is going, those are the people signing your paychecks. You want to serve them. So it might not be getting the jazzy SAN cert that you want, but it might be doing that vulnerability research and that CTI and getting that experience and being like, listen, I don't have an OSCP, but I know who our top 10 threat actors are. I know when they'll come at us and why they'll come at us and how they'll come at us. And I have a plan for that. That's way more beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah, I would much prefer that. Definitely. I actually have no certifications except for the one that I made for WeHack Purple. I was like, I guess I'm going to give it to myself since I made all the courses you have to take to get it. So I might as well. So that's like my only cert. But yeah, I feel like some people, a cert can really help you get in the door, and some people it's, you don't necessarily need it. Or if you want a specific job, sometimes you need it. And it's an industry, right? Certification's an industry. You have to pay to take the certification. You have to pay to take it again. You have to, like, I don't know if
you have to pay for the CPEs to maintain it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The fact that you can't get CPEs from reading, the fact that you can't get CPEs from basically, like, I was explaining to this to my significant other who is not a security person. And the response was just, wait a minute. So you have to pay them again to keep it, and you have to pay them for training. You have to pay, and he's like, well, could people take your courses? And then they could. I'm like, I don't think that we're able to give CPEs. And it was just, this is totally not fair.
It's not fair.
It's an expensive industry to be in. And I'm seeing, so we're not supposed to talk about our competitors, but I'm seeing really cool things that the Cyber Mentor is doing. I feel like it's okay to talk about them super positively, right?
And expertise, definitely, for sure. You guys, if I want to learn, the target consumer would go to your courses or his courses for very different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, his courses, like, they're, if you want to smash all the things, I hear they're excellent.
They'll take you from know nothing to hero, just like me. Like, I was high, new here, don't know what an IP address is. And now I'm over here red teaming things. So, I mean, it just depends. Yeah. It just depends. But I would just say to figure out what you should learn, target the job that you want. If you want a job with like a top, like a Fortune 50 company, a big ass company, a tiny company, a pen testing firm, those are all going to be different. And say, listen, I might not have the CEH, but I took the CEH curriculum. I read the book. I did the thing. I've done some labs. This is what I have to make up for that instead. That's probably fine. Or say, you know, I see you're looking for a mobile pen tester. I don't have any of these certs, but none of these certs speak to that skill anyway. However, I have done a ton of these things, which is practically relevant to this job. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. So we have a question. So I don't always do well with the "you're a woman, isn't that hard" type of question. So we can pass if you don't want to, but honestly asked and a nicely asked question. So InfoSec is a hard field for women in general. We have that ridiculous hashtag InfoSec bikini going on to prove it, but you crashed those gates. Can you talk about it some more?
It is very much a still a good old boys club. And I don't want to stereotype the good old boys either, because I've met tons of gentlemen in this field who are super nice and super approachable and very supportive and very collaborative. But there are a lot of people in this field who still need their mind changed. And I did encounter a lot of that. In my first InfoSec position ever, I encountered emails that they never thought would get to me, which is stupid because I was adminning the DLP tool. But anyway, I saw where they called me the boppy millennial chicken security in emails. Like, they're just referring to me like that in emails. But in the elevator, like, if they never met me in person, they were like, yeah, we're going to go meet up with that new guy in security later, Merrill. And I'm like, oh, Merrill? They're like, yeah. I'm like, that's me. So apparently my work ethic seemed like to the caliber they would expect of their peers. But once they learned I was a woman, it just became, oh, I'm whiny. Oh, I'm emotional. Oh, I'm, you know, I don't have the experience. I just got here. Like, can I explain why I deserve to do any of these things? So it was my newness. It was my gender. It's that I'm a millennial. Like, all these things work against me. So I'm pretty used to it, but, sadly, that stigma really is still out there. My sister works in tech too as a BI, and she had a gentleman that she mentored because he interned under her. And then when they finally had the same job title, she'd been working there longer. He had been her intern, and he was making 30% more than her simply because he's a guy, and gender salary differences are a thing. So it's something that we see all the time. A lot of us are kind of just shrug it off, but it's annoying and it's there and it sucks. There's no nice way to say that it sucks, but all I can say is be the change you want to see. If you hear something, say something. If your coworkers are being dicks, tell them they're being dicks.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. Yeah. I like to make people feel really sorry. If they do something sexist, I like to just like call it out. So it's so ridiculous that they feel bad. Yes, but I'm going to try really hard to shut up before I say too much, especially about InfoSec bikini. I don't get it. I did post a photo of a picture of my bikini just sitting on the floor. And I still had to block several men for saying super perverted things to me. And I'm just like, are you kidding? It's just a picture of a bikini.
Yeah,
I'm not in the photo.
But no, the fact that you took it, like, you're inviting that attention. You want us to think of you like that. Clearly, this is something you want. And I'm like, oh my God, I won't get on that soapbox. But I will say, yeah. I love how the InfoSec community came together immediately. It wasn't a topic that divided us. And some of us were like, well, that's really not professional. Well, it's not like she did it on LinkedIn. It's not like it was like out of context for that platform. It's Twitter. And we all came together, and there were bikinis, mankinis, logo kinis, like dog kinis, like bikinis were on everything. And it was amazing. And I think that just goes to show like the generation you see interacting with us regularly. Like, you see so much bestiness going on Twitter. You're like, there can't be that much dissent and like discord happening in our community. And it's like, well, the people causing it are not the people who are our friends out there on socials, are they? That's much more a different demographic working in our industry. But I think it really goes to show how we're going to change all that once our percentage takes over their percentage, because we all got with each other immediately and supported each other and just unabashedly were there for each other. So we rock. Also, there are some damn sexy people working in InfoSec all across the board.
Wow, right? Wow. Across the board. Yeah. Yeah. One of my friends sent me a picture of someone and I was like, anyway. Okay, Tanya, get back on track. You can do this. Awesome. Okay. Stop fantasizing about mankinis.
Twitter movement ever is InfoSec bikini. Forever.
We have a really good, another good question from Dwayne. I know, no one's surprised. Great questions coming from Dwayne. So when you look at best practice docs, like the CIS critical security controls, so I like the CIS benchmarks a lot, where they'll tell you, like, you gotta do these things if you want your things to be secure. So if you look at those best practices and orgs that actually put them in place and then monitor the controls, do you feel that those controls would actually block the majority of your attacks, or is more needed than that?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I'm not just saying this because I author benchmarks in my spare time. I am saying this. I do. My name is on the AWS one, soon to be Azure. He'll see me there. Yes, I'm telling you guys, security is doing the basics well. If you were, every time you installed a Palo Alto device or a Cisco device or a F5 or a Meraki or whatever it is you've got, if you whipped out the benchmark and did their literal syntax steps that we painstakingly spell out for you, like 60% of my initial access shit would not get off the ground. I'd be like, what are we going to do now? We have to fish somebody. We have to fish or vish somebody, or we are dead in the water. We are screwed. That's all there is to it. There is no pivot if there is no initial access. So if you can cut out, like, mitigating your defenses around a kill chain that I would execute is not defending against all the things. It's, can you remove enough pieces that this is A, really inconvenient, or B, impossibly hard, or C, I'd have to know how to engineer my own malware just for you. And now it's not that worth it anymore. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. And if you literally did what was in the CIS benchmarks and you regularly monitored and you did some DAS testing and you ran regular vulnerability scans, you would know all these things before I knew them.
I have people ask me a lot, like, should we spend our money on like pen testing all these things or run an AppSec program? And I'm like, well, I'm ridiculously biased because I switched from pen testing to AppSec, but like, you could be building such nice software.
The best defense is a good defense. The best defense is a good defense. Like, eventually you can't build your walls any higher. Eventually it's time to see how well you stand up. But so many people are not doing the basics. If you can't pass a compliance audit, if you can't get a SOC 2, if you can't get an ISO certification, if you can't, if you're reporting in your vulnerability management tool, like multiple criticals, you're not ready for a pen test. You don't need it, but you need to do those basics.
Oh, Meryl.
That's all I'm going to say.
Last year, one of my clients bought another company and they're like, hey, could you just take like a little look at this? And we ran a SAST tool on it and found 43,000 vulnerabilities in one app. And I was like, I'm sure they're all false positive. Something's wrong here. And then we went through the first 100 and they were all legit. And I was like, yeah. So feelings and thoughts.
Yep. Yeah, by the way, security is 10 times more expensive to go back and put in after the fact than it is to bake in from the beginning. And by the way, devs, maybe don't loop us in 2 weeks before go live and say, pen test this thing so we can publish it. Maybe have us do 2 or 3 passes at it during your QA phase. We're happy to do it. We'll find more stuff that way. You'll secure more stuff that way. And then the things we find at the end are like teeny tiny nuancy things. And then you don't have to go back and do 10,000 lines of code edits. You're like, oh, I'll fix this while I'm writing it.
Yes. Yes.
That would be my dream.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have so many dreams of this, Meryl.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. I'm going to stop asking the people in the chat's question for just a second. If you were going to give someone advice that wants to get into a role like yours, what type of actionable things could they do?
If you want to get into a role like mine, so I do, again, a very niche function in offensive testing. I kind of am at like the golden level of like, we're not pen testing anymore. We're doing like the really elaborate, sophisticated, long life cycle stuff. And it's so much fun. If you want to be good at this, then you need to know how red team operations are conducted. You need to know the difference between a red team op and a pen test. You need to know how to stand up infrastructure. We do a lot of that in the cloud now. If you don't know anything about the cloud, if you've still never heard of Terraform, you need to know these things because, again, all the guys on your team will be able to do this in their sleep. But if you can come in and say, listen, I know I'm junior. I know I don't have a ton of experience, but on the first op that we do, I'll spin up the infrastructure. I will get all the RFA keys done. I will get all this going. I will take care of this. I'll get all the servers up and running, make sure everything's talking to each other. And all you literally have to do is payload development and then I'll deploy the agent. I mean, that's music to their ears. That shows them that you know what you're doing. You know the foundations. You could be inserted very easily. They don't have to teach you how to walk before they can teach you how to run. We can all focus on your running form now and getting your time down. And it just tells them that you cared enough about the difference and the nuance of their operations to learn about it yourself. Being able to offer something extra again. So something most red teamers won't know, something cloud or mobile or API or risk. One of the first contributions I ever made was that I have a custom risk matrix that I use that I really love. It's not Dread, it's not Stride, it's not Pasta, it's not any of those things. It's like, it's the ERM. And I really love that because it provides organizational context to things that are otherwise kind of arbitrarily graded by severity. So I immediately did that for all the findings for an op that I wasn't even a part of. And I was like, look, I gave you kind of this extra level of being able to explain this to them in a way that's impactful. And they're like, great, can you speak about that in the meeting? Because we don't understand, but it looks great. So, I mean, there are tons of ways you can provide value, but really your best way is to treat it like a hacker would treat it. Find the people, do the OSINT, ask them the challenges, read the articles they're putting out. If they're putting out articles on Google, they probably have a lack in Google because that means they're researching it and publishing about it and asking about it. So track the things that their operators are asking about in forums and searching about and researching and developing on, and like track their conversations and say, hey, if you ever have a question on this, I happen to know a thing or two about a thing or two, and then they'll become your buddy. And then when you apply, they already know you. So like, don't just take your chances applying to a red team. Do the OSINT on that red team and make sure you can provide value.
Nice. That's really good advice. I feel like for a lot of jobs, I will do the toil. I will do the crappiest work. Please let me on your team. Mm-hmm. So smart.
I call that putting back the dresses. When I was a wedding planner, I took all the dresses from everyone else's appointments and I would go put them back in the racks. And I got to memorize where all the dresses were. And someone was like, where's the Vera Wang? Where's the Vera Wang? I know where the Vera Wang is. I could go snag it from my client. It's right over there. So it's like doing that weeds work. Knowing the stuff, like knowing this inside and out, that's what's really going to help you.
That's awesome. So I feel like I only have question for one or two more. I only have time for one or two more questions. So I'm going to smash two questions together. Ha ha. So what do you like the most and what do you like the least about your job or like about this type of job?
What I like the most about it is that the cadence is very different. We spend a lot of time planning and a lot of time formulating and a lot of time getting very creative and making it very real. I love making it as realistic as possible. I want to mimic the wild as closely as possible. What I like the least, I haven't really found anything I don't enjoy. What I didn't enjoy about pen testing was that like so many people didn't care about the output and like, thanks for this report.
Like, shredder.
Shred. You're going to remediate, right? So it just kind of felt, you know, it felt like, oh, well, did a tool validate that? Because if your tool didn't validate it, we don't trust her work. And it's just like, it was just kind of disheartening. You're going to get a lot of that if you want to be a pen tester. You have to have a very thick skin. I haven't really found that with red teaming. I found that people are, we do such higher echelons and like sophisticated functions that when it works, oh, that might be a thing. Sometimes we put a lot of work into something, a lot of work, like weeks worth of planning, and it doesn't get off. It's like baking a cake. You put the cake in and it explodes. You're like, dang it. Dang it. So this motivates you to come back better next time. But really everyone cares a lot because you're not just testing a product. You're not just like looking for bugs. You are testing the company as a whole. How vulnerable is this company? Not how vulnerable is your product, which is very, very different and very, very fun.
We have so many comments in the chat about just people being like, yes. So if someone wants to learn more about you, I heard that you were speaking at some conferences.
I am. I did a first part of a multi-part series at Wild West Hack and Fest Way West last month. I'll be speaking at Hack and Fest Deadwood as well. Not sure if virtual or in person yet, but it's definitely coming. Currently, I'm teaching all of you hackers how to be better at social media because marketing's a thing that you don't understand very well, that I understand decently well.
How do I get in on that?
we can drop a link and I will also have that in my bio on Twitter. And also you can find me on Discord. If anyone wants my Discord handle, I'll make sure that Tanya gets it and is able to post it. I have my own Discord server where really people can just hit me up with questions like, hey, I don't understand this thing in SecPlus, or I don't understand this, or can you explain that? It's really a great place to hit me up because my LinkedIn DMs are insanely behind at this point. So my Discord server is not putting content out there all the time. but it's your closed audience opportunity to ask me all the stupid questions or the whatever you have a question on. I'm happy to talk to you there. And then I'm emceeing for GrimCon with Bryson Bort and Wade wading through logs. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to wear a unicorn. Oh,
that's awesome. I feel like you should definitely invest in a Superwoman costume at some point because, like, you're fairly super.
Actually, I Gal Gadot a lot, and I'm like, I don't want to say thanks, but thanks. So I think that has to be my Halloween costume at this point.
Yes. I have multiple Superman shirts because, well, Superwoman, because I'm wearing them. So it's Superwoman when I wear it. But yeah. Superwoman. It's just, it's the best. And then all day long when people ask, hey, how are you? You can respond and be seriously and say, super.
Super.
Right? And is that not the best? So as a last question, because I want to just keep asking you 100 questions, but what makes you feel the most pride about the work that you do?
It's when we actually get to harden things. Like when I got something off the ground and my cake came out of the oven perfect and a ton of things worked and I feel really bad because socks generally feel very beaten up on at that point. But you get with them and you say, let's fix this. Let's fix these things. I will tell you how to find me and I'll make sure that the next person who tries this crap, they won't get it past you. Yeah, that's the... Oh, no, that's the wrong Discord handle. It's updated now. It's She Who Hacks 2996, just so you're all aware, if anyone's watching. But but that was the old one. But yeah, it's when we actually get to harden things, when I actually see mitigations happen, when I actually see detections fine-tuned, when I see rules appear, when emails that were delivered to inboxes are no longer getting delivered. Like, that makes me excited because you get a little bit better and it forces me to get a little bit better. And then you get a little bit better. And it just keeps going like that until... you're going to look me in the eye one day and say, hocus pocus, you can't smoke us. And I'm like, I hope not. I hope not.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. And for anyone that was listening, her Discord server is She Who Hacks.
Yes.
Number sign 2996.
And it's kind of like Linux. You have to capitalize those things or it won't show up.
Linux. Oh, okay. So is it capital S?
Yeah. Yeah, so capitalized just like that. But if they don't put
capital
that-
H on who...
Yeah.
Or capital W.
Capital H.
And also capital H on hacks. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. So thank you so much for being on the show. This was actually super stupendous because I wanted to use the word super.
This has been thank you so- wonderful.
Yes.
Puns are thank you. People, they're going to get worse.
No, but it's wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone in the chat who asked all the awesome questions, who were so great. I appreciate all of you. And thank you, Meryl, for being on the show. Seriously, like you follow someone on Twitter and then you invite them on the show and then some of them say yes. And so thank you for saying yes.
For me, it was follow someone for a long time, comment on her stuff. And she's like, you want to be on my podcast? I'm like, yes, I do. Yay. It's like I made it now.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I'm really, I'm
awesome. Just wanted to say shout out to Dwayne.
Yes, Dwayne's awesome. Kellen's awesome. Johnny's awesome. All people in the chat. Thank you, Al. All of you.
Yeah, you guys have been wicked, wicked engaging. It's been awesome.
I agree. I didn't even get to ask half my questions, although they did ask a lot of them for me. You're welcome. Okay, so we are going to wrap up, and this was the We Hack Purple podcast. Thank you so much for coming to the We Hack Purple podcast. And thank you to our amazing guest, Meryl Vernon, She Who Hacks. Thank you to our sponsor, Ten Security. We appreciate you so much. And in case you did not get the memo of me saying it 500 times and us flashing it on the screen, We Hack Purple just released a secure coding course. It is language agnostic. There are not coding exercises, but there's code review, quizzes, checklists, PDF downloads, and then a ton of videos and articles that teach you all about why you need to secure code securely, how to code securely, and then a whole bunch of code samples to try to make sure that you actually do after this course. So please check it out at academy.wehackpurple.com. And I feel that that is lots of stuff that I am supposed to say. And Thank you very much for listening to the We Hack Purple podcast. I'm Tanya Janka, your host. And apparently last episode, I completely forgot to introduce myself or say my name. So I did it. Thank you. The end.